come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are coming at you with my pick of the month. And I chose Becky from 2020.
Yes, you did.
We did Brawl in Cell Block 99 for our last episode. And it was Vince Vaughn in a role that he doesn't typically do. So yep. I decided to roll with Becky. Kevin James is a fucking maniac in this movie.
He is, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. But before we talk about this too much, we'll kick off our box office and news and booze. All right, what are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking a Blue Mountain Brewing Company Light Lager.
Nice.
How about you?
I am drinking a Dark and Stormy.
Okay, nice. Is that a mixed drink?
Yeah, so we went on a cruise last week, and I fell in love with this drink on the ship, and it's a Bermuda drink. It's just rum and ginger beer and lime.
It doesn't really seem like the kind of drink that you would want to drink on a cruise ship.
Dark and stormy.
I mean,
there was one day where it was raining, and I went to the bar and I was like, "Yeah, I'll take a dark and stormy." And he's like, "Ah, just like outside." I was like,
"Yeah,
oh, shit, yeah, true." But it's super easy to make and it's really good. So
nice.
Yeah. Okay, we haven't talked in a while, so I'm gonna.
That's true.
I'm gonna assume you've watched some shit.
Honestly, no, not really.
All right, I
have watched a few things. Nothing really exciting, but I guess I'll share it anyway. Oops. How do I maximize this? There we go. Yeah. Trying to think of. So I watched this documentary on Netflix called "The Twister: Caught in Storm." It is all right. Kind of. I don't know, it's kind of disappointing. Honestly, I thought I'd have more like of the actual storm, but. People like story, but it was, you know, devastating, obviously, but
yeah,
that wasn't really what I was expecting. Then randomly, I think it was on Saturday, maybe someday, just threw on Moana 2 randomly, with the family. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't really, was it terrible? It wasn't amazing, just kind of, I don't know,
not as good as the first one.
No. Then kind of scrolling Paramount Plus one night and saw Rango. I was like,
so
I used to watch the movie all the time. Like, it's good, man. I like Rango.
Yeah.
It's underrated.
Okay.
And then this weekend we binged Adolescence on Netflix, which is a limited series, and I don't know if you've seen this yet, but I gotta say, this is really fucking good, and all four episodes are a one shot, so they were filmed with no cutting. Just an amazing achievement. Really fantastic. The little boy that plays the kid, this was his first acting gig, and they filmed episode 3 first, and that blows my fucking mind, because the first time he's on set is in episode 3, ever on a movie set in his life.
Yeah.
And a one single shot, and this kid's fucking unreal.
Yeah, I've heard it's really good.
So definitely recommend it. Stephen Graham is really good too. And it really, I think, is an important watch for, I think, like the new age kids and teenagers. I think it's a really... paints a picture on social media and how really terrible it is for a younger generation. So yeah. And been keeping up with the TV shows, finished Reacher. We have one episode left in White Lotus. I think one episode left in The Pit, still to air. Yeah. So that's it.
Cruising.
Yeah.
Like it.
But you.
I watched quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
The night before we left, a friend of mine at work was talking. She's all over Tubi, like all the time.
Yeah.
But she's always recommending movies to me to watch on there. And she recommended Ghoul,
Okay.
which it's not great, but it was okay.
Yeah.
And we spent the night in New York City before we sailed out. So we were just laying in bed that night, and Big Daddy was on TV. So I fucking put that on. God damn, dude. That movie's so depressing at that one part. I was just like,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
ah. And like on the cruise ship too, like there was two movie channels that would just like kind of cycle through the same movies. So like
Okay,
anytime
yeah.
we were in the room just chilling, if I wasn't putting a movie on, that's why I watched Iron Man,
Okay, nice.
Quiet Place Part One or Day One, sorry.
Oh shit, is that your first watch of it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I liked it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are saying it's better than the first one. I don't know if I agree with that, but
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I did think it was really good.
Yeah.
Then we got home. I watched The Electric State. Not great.
Yeah.
We watched Mufasa with the boys because it's on Disney Plus now. It was good. I gave it a 2.5. I think maybe I was too harsh on it just because the CGI pissed me off. But like the story itself was good, and it was at least an original
Right.
story. Like wasn't just a shot for shot remake of something like the first one was. And then I watched Bloody Axe Wound, which is a new
Quite the
movie.
name.
Yeah, new movie on Shudder. And it was decent.
Okay.
And then we watched If with the boys this weekend as well.
Nice.
I liked it a lot more than I expected I was going.
Yeah, because he kind of doesn't have the greatest reviews, I don't think.
Yeah, no, but it was pretty good. And then I watched The Rule of Jenny Penn, which is another new movie on Shudder.
Okay.
And I kept seeing it all over Instagram on the weekend, and like Stephen King was commenting on it and saying how it was like a movie and whatnot. And yeah, I agree, dude. This movie's fucking sick.
Okay, might as well check it
Yeah, John Lithgow's in it,
out.
and
Nice.
he is just an absolute fucking menace throughout
Yeah.
this movie, man. And I loved watching it. I loved his character. He was just like the biggest piece of shit, but like in a hilarious way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had a lot of fun with it. I definitely recommend checking it out.
Okay.
It's on
Okay.
Shudder.
Nice.
And yeah, other than that, just been reading. I haven't turned touched my PlayStation in a couple weeks,
I know, me too.
which I'm okay with.
Yeah, because like the hockey season is getting really intense. A lot of just playoff scenarios up in there, so I've just been watching a ton of hockey and reading at the same time. Like I've just been flying through books, so
Yeah, this wild card race is fucking crazy right now.
yeah.
Very nice. All right. For our box office, we have four new movies in the top five.
Yeah, April's a big month.
Crazy. I'm going to start off with sixth place, though, because
Can I
this
take
is
a
in.
guess as to what it is?
Giver.
Death of a Unicorn.
No, actually.
Okay.
Sixth place is Princess Mononoke.
Oh, right. I should have known that because Dennis mentioned it
Yeah.
to us.
It got re-released in a small amount of theaters, but pretty cool that it's getting back out there. In fifth place is Death of a Unicorn.
Ah, okay, that's close.
So it brought in 5.7 mil. I really want to see this movie. I
I
just
know. I
intrigued.
haven't heard the greatest things about it, but I
Yeah,
definitely
well.
want to watch it.
Yeah, it's an A24 movie, right? So like
Yeah.
it, you know it's gonna be obscure,
Yeah.
not gonna be for everybody. In fourth place, we have The Woman in the Yard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
What is this about?
It looks
Nope.
like every other Blumhouse movie, to be honest.
Yeah, cool. We'll wait till that comes out on streaming.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, it brought in 9.3 mil. In third place, we have The Chosen Last Supper Part One.
Okay.
No idea what it is, but it brought in 11.7 million. In second place, we have Snow White, which brought in 14.3. It's got a total of 66.9. But holy shit, dude, this movie is getting
Yeah.
fucking thrown through the ringer.
So I didn't even know, like, when all the controversy happened with this movie with all the dwarves and stuff like that, I just like have no interest. I didn't even know that like, Gal Gadot was in this. But I guess this movie just really throws her on the Mount Rushmore of worst actors ever, apparently. And like people are like analyzing her older movies and they're like she just got like a star in like Hollywood Walk of Fame or something like that. And people are like, why does Gal Gadot have a fucking star? And like
She paid
Robert
for
De
it.
Niro doesn't have one, and like Al Pacino and like all these people.
But these actors have to pay for their star, right?
Yeah, they
So
have to
like
be like nominated or something like that. Then like the only way they get it is if they show up for the event. So I think like De Niro did have one, but he couldn't make it, so they didn't give him one. And no one else has nominated him or something like that. But yeah, I guess like people have really been analyzing her career and been like, okay, you're a terrible actress.
Yeah, and like I've never really thought of that with her because like I don't know, she's got Wonder Woman and she's got
Yeah.
some other like bigger movies, but like I've never seen her as like a terrible actress, but I don't know, I've
Yeah.
dissected her
Yeah.
roles, but
Yeah.
yeah, I have a lot of issues with this movie, and the CGI dwarfs is one of me. And I mean zero disrespect with this next comment to the community that I'm about to address, but
Okay.
like you bring in a Hispanic actress to play Snow White, it just doesn't make any sense, man.
Yeah, especially one that was like doing cocaine at the Oscars or something like that.
Was she?
Yeah.
That's
I don't know
wild.
if it was the Oscars or the SAG Awards, but yeah, she was after at the after party and she was doing coke, I guess.
That's hilarious.
It's
Snow
like,
White, man.
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, Colombian. She's Colombian, sorry. Colombian American. And seriously, like no disrespect, but like Snow White, her skin is white as snow. Like the whole fucking premise of the movie is that she's the fairest skinned person in all the land, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know, it just doesn't make any sense. Anyways, in first place, we have a working man with 15.5 million, which is Statham's new.
Ah, yes.
And it's, I'm gonna assume it's just like Statham's other movies.
Yeah, and you know, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it too. So yeah, we have a, I don't know. Yeah, 4 out of the 5 are in their opening weekend. So, all right, what's our 4Ks looking like?
Okay. So we got Harbin. No idea what that is. We got Love Hurts,
Nice.
which that came out very quickly on 4K. Flight Risk with our boy Mark Wahlberg. No idea what that is. Companion, which I do want to see.
Man, I'm so fucking mad at myself.
Why?
So I rented it. It was on sale for $6.99.
Yeah.
I got about 3/4 of the way through it, and then I was like, ah, I'm tired. I'm gonna go to bed. I'll finish this tomorrow.
Yeah.
Forgot to finish it the next day, and then my fucking rental ran out.
Oh man, that's why
Was
I
so
don't want to
mad.
rent. Like, I want to watch The Brutalist, but I know that if I rent it, I'm probably gonna go past 24 hours because it's like a 3.5 hour movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was fucking so pissed. It's from what I saw though, it was good.
Yeah, okay. We got A Complete Unknown, which is also Disney Plus, like we talked about. Mufasa, The Lion King. Renfield is getting a 4K release.
Man, that steelbook is sick.
That's cool. We got Summer Wars. Not sure what that is. And Getsu on Criterion. Yeah, so kind of boring week, but.
Yeah, not really a big week. All right. I guess we can start talking about this movie.
It.
Up my notes. All right, like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about Becky from 2020. Starting off the synopsis. A teenager's weekend at a lake house with her father takes a turn for the worse when a group of convicts wreaks havoc on their lives. This was directed by John Milot and Carey Murnian. So they're another like dual director combo kind of thing. They always do their movies together. They have directed Cooties, which was a fun movie that came out a while back. Bushwick, which I've never seen. And they have an upcoming movie called Dreadnought with Dave Bautista. And it sounded really cool. Kind of looking forward to that. They did not direct the sequel to this, but they did produce it, which I found kind of surprising. I figured they would do, but for the cast, we have Lulu Wilson playing Becky. Our dude Kevin James playing Dominic.
Did you saw the trivia that he wasn't the original person for this role? What's his name?
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg, but I guess he couldn't do it. But I think that also would have been an interesting movie as well. Just different, maybe. I don't know.
It would have been, but like, I don't like Simon Pegg doesn't look like menacing enough to me. Like, he's all like, he's gangly and I don't know.
Yeah, but the same could be said of Kevin James, right? Like, he's
Yeah.
never played a villain in his life, right? But
That's
yeah, I get your
true.
idea.
And like, can Simon Pegg even grow a beard? I don't
Does he need a
know.
beard?
I don't know, man. The beard in this movie made Kevin James look pretty fucking badass. Joel McHale plays Jeff, and Robert Maillet plays Apex, and he is Canadian.
Is he?
He is, and
Huh.
he's an ex-WWF wrestler.
Okay, nice.
He was part of the Oddities. So I looked them up because it was back in like the late 90s. That's why I said WWF and not WWE. And he looks so different back then.
Yeah, I
You
didn't even
wouldn't
remember him.
recognize him.
I got a complaint about a choice in this movie, though. I love Joel McHale. I think he's great. I think he's good in this movie. But give him a different fucking name.
Instead of Jeff?
Yeah, that's his name in fucking Community.
Oh, that's true, eh? I never even thought of that. That's true. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to make it easy for him.
Maybe.
My name's Jeff. All right. Did you have any honorable mentions?
Yeah, actually, Amanda Brugel, let's say her name, also Canadian. She was in The Handmaid's Tale,
Oh, that's right.
and she was in Infinity Pool. She played the wife.
You're right. She did. Shit. I knew she looked familiar. Guess that's why.
Pretty much it, I think. Is this a Canadian movie? Because all these actors are Canadian that I'm seeing.
All Canadian.
Well, I mean, the two other bad guys are Canadian. She's Canadian.
Hey.
Yeah. Joel McHale has a Canadian-born mother.
Oh, really? Shit. Okay. Let's see. Come on. Country of origin. Oh, yeah. Burlington, Ontario. The filming location. Yeah. Where it was filmed.
Something in Burlington, eh?
Yeah. That's kind of cool. Not far from here.
No.
Neat.
Yeah, no one else, so
All right. Me either. So let's dive in.
already. So this we've both seen this movie before, obviously. I love that this movie is 90 minutes.
Oh yeah, perfect runtime.
And it doesn't take too long to set up everything and so you just get right into it. Doesn't waste time. Kind of, I think it quickly, very quickly explains Becky's relationship with Jeff and the scenario they're in, and still makes it make you somewhat emotionally invested with some of the flashbacks that they use and stuff like that. So the movie opens up really quickly. She's being interviewed by cops. She's not really saying much. they ask her what happens to the guy in the orange camo shirt, and then she's not really talking and says, oh, this is what happened. And then it kind of cuts to 2 weeks earlier. And we see a fight happening in the prison. And then we also see Becky in the school. It looked like she was on the ground, but it was another two guys fighting. So I was kind of confused by that. But we see Dominic, who's played by Kevin James. He walks by, hands a shank to one of his buddies, and immediately stabs one of the black guys that is beating up another guy. And just kind of shows like Dominic is the leader, I guess, of the Brotherhood. You know, is skinhead with tattoo in the back of his head, just big ass beard and a lot of tattoos. And pretty much Apex is like his right-hand man, but Apex is like following him, kind of like being bossed around. Like there's always this like leader bad guy who is like has a bigger, badder like side man who could just destroy him anytime he wants to, you know? But yeah.
Man, I like Apex a lot. 'Cause like you said, like he's just a monster of a man, and like he can fucking crush you with not even fucking lifting a hand. But like he's got a heart,
Yeah, he
because
does.
there's some shit that happens later on, and he like kind of stands up to Dominic, and he's like, I'm not fucking doing this. But like he also has this tie with the Brotherhood, where like he doesn't want to let them down, kind of thing. It's almost like he's sworn to this Brotherhood. So he's kind of got like this internal conflict, but I don't know, I really liked him.
I like him too. Obviously he's done some really fucking terrible things. So yeah, we see them. I think Apex ends up doing something, I forget, but they end up getting transported in a transport vehicle, and there's another guy in there with him, and then like Dominic kind of like nods at Apex, and Apex just grabs the guy by his throat, starts choking him, and then I forget what he ends up killing the guy.
One-handed breaks this guy's neck while he's choking him. He's got his hand around his throat, and then he just fucking like jolts his hand and snaps the guy's neck. After we just finished saying how Apex is kind of like a good dude, he fucking snaps this guy's neck.
And then Dominic tells the cops in the front, like, hey, this guy back here isn't doing too good. So they pull over, and then the next thing you know, we see a car coming down the road, and there's Dominic dressed up in the uniform, pulls this guy over with his two kids in the back, and Dominic kind of says, see your license, can you step out, please? And then he's like, my partner is gonna inspect the vehicle, and you see Apex at the back, open the door with the two little kids in it, just like looks at him. And the Dominic asks the guy, like, oh, how far do you live from here? And he says, oh, but a mile and a half down the road. The Dominic's like kind of like looking around. And he kind of says to himself, like, yeah, they won't hear a gunshot from, or they'll hear a gunshot from a mile away or something like that. And the guy's like, what? And then Dominic just takes the gun and smashes him in the head, beats him up. And then we see Apex to like reach in the car, but we don't know what happens. But we kind of learn that they killed the dad, and they killed the kids, unfortunately. Because he's making Apex doing all the fucked up shit, right?
For what it's worth, we know he's not a good guy. But
No.
as the movie progresses, he starts to kind of come around a little bit.
He's killed multiple kids, but
But he knows that it's bad, guys. Before we move on, I really like the cuts in this movie where
yeah,
it
me
will
too.
like it'll go from like something that Becky's doing, but then transition like it's just like a straight cut into what those guys are doing. And they kind of like match up in a sense, just like in the form of 13-year-old girl versus escaped convicts. But I don't know, I kind of really like the cuts that they did in this.
Yeah, me too. Meanwhile, we see Jeff and Becky. They're driving somewhere. Becky's in the back with her two dogs, Dora and Diego. And if anyone know, if you don't know what those names are, obviously Dora the Explorer. And they are these two giant, massive King Corsos. Now, I must
Beautiful
say,
dogs.
they're not thoroughbred though. So, yeah, really, really cool looking dogs. And we see them pull over to a gas station to get gas, and they go in. And Jeff is like, acting like dad with her, joking with her, and she's like, "Oh, get gummy worms or whatever." And he's like, "You don't like gummy worms," or something like that. And she like just goes and steals the gummy worms, and then she sees like a whole family with like a shirt that says like, I don't know, like Merkley family reunion. And she kind of like has like freezes and kind of is going through the motions. So obviously you know that their family isn't a family anymore. And then we learn that her mom had cancer, I assume, or was very sick and ended up dying. So like in a very short amount of time, you are emotionally invested in kind of this family. Obviously Becky is upset. But I wonder how long it's been since she died. From the flashback, it looked like Becky was roughly the same age.
I think it said that it was a year.
Oh, did it? Okay, I missed that then.
Yeah, I think they mentioned that at some point.
So they get to the head, or they're driving, and then they kind of slow down at this sign that I forget what it says, some road. And he surprises her and says, "Oh, we're going here." And she's like, I thought we weren't. And he's like, and she is kind of like rags on him, like, "You said we weren't selling the place for a while," or blah blah blah. And he's like, "Well, I got a surprise for you." And they pull up, and he's like, "I decided we're not selling it." And she immediately like hugs him, and he's like, "Oh, you forgot that you're mad at me." And then she kind of like backs away and is like happy again, but also like kind of still holding back a bit.
Teenage angst.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was in this scene actually where we find out that it's been a year.
Oh,
Because I
okay.
think she said, like, you said we weren't selling it for a while, like it's only been a year or something like
But then we see Kayla and Ty pull up, and immediately Becky's demeanor just goes back to
that. Yeah.
fucking pissed off. And so obviously Kayla is Jeff's new girlfriend, and obviously Becky upset
Not
about
okay with
that. Yeah, I mean, a year, if it is a year after the death, that is kind of soon, but I feel like in this scenario also you have to at some point move on, right?
Yeah. But I mean, it's only been a year and like they're engaged.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like might be a little quick.
Yeah.
Especially in the eyes of a 13-year-old, right? Like she doesn't understand
Yeah.
that like you do kind of have to move on a little bit. Like she's obviously upset and understandably upset that her dad
Yeah.
has moved
Because,
on this
like,
quickly.
Becky thinks that Jeff didn't love her mother, which obviously he did, but you just have to move on and, so. And I mean, Kayla and Ty seem like a really, like, she seems like a cool girl. And Ty, I mean, you don't really learn much about Ty because he's kind of really young, but
Kid doesn't
yeah.
speak.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, so they're having dinner and stuff. I forget what happens, but she gets pissed off again. She runs and she's going to her little playhouse that's like in the woods, with Diego is with her. And she's in there, and then you hear the doorbell ring, and it is Dominic, but he's dressed in the guy's clothes that he just killed. And this is one part that I think like was kind of sloppy for me for story wise, because they don't explain why this key is hidden in their house. Like, they needed to somehow get Dominic and the gang to this house that they're at. And I just feel like this whole looking for a key thing, I don't know. I haven't seen the sequel. Is the key involved in the sequel at all?
Not that I can remember now. But like, yeah, like we need to have some sort of backstory with this lake house. Like, if it was like, if they gave us like a small flashback of like, okay, Dominic owned this lake house, and then whenever he got incarcerated, it went up for sale, and Jeff and his family bought it. That would make sense. But like, what is this lake house to Dominic? Was it just like a random house that he found and decided to hide this key in? We don't even know what the key's for.
We never find out.
Yeah.
He just says that he goes on a tirade of Okayla or to Kayla about how God created races for a reason, and this key is going to show the world what that means, or something like that. And like, if he is this skinhead, obviously, right? And Kayla's black, I didn't really see any like hate from other movies like of that kind towards her, right? Like, he doesn't really treat her any different than Jeff.
No, I mean, like, he does make comments where, like, with the dogs, how you mentioned that he sees that they have a Cane Corso. And he's like, but she's not purebred, and he goes, that's the problem with intermingling breeds. He's like, because you end up getting the worst of both sides, and like that's the main racist thing that we hear come out of him in regards to Kayla. But I mean, the guy's covered in fucking Nazi tattoos and shit. Like, it's very obvious that he's not about it.
So yeah, they're being held hostage, and yeah, he goes on a rant about the dogs. Because he says, because he says, they ask him like what he's doing there, and he says, "Oh, I lost my dog." And they just like invite him in, and he's like not even talking with the dog, and they're like, "Well, what kind of dog is it?" And he's just like quiet and looking around, and he says, "Oh, Cane Corso." And like, "Oh, you lost a Cane Corso?" And he's like, "No." That doesn't even go on about that.
Well, he's like, no, my dog's a Rottweiler. She's a purebred.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
You're right. So yeah, they end up keeping Jeff hostage, but Kayla and Taya end up kind of running away and to grab the cell phone, and Dominic, like, the Apex, or Apex is in there now, and Dominic's like, they're probably going for a cell phone. So like they're like running in Apex, just like walking fucking Michael Myers style. Goes into the room, and he ends up taking this phone and smashing it, or breaking it in half, I think. And then he tells them to go out the side door, right? But then the other two guys find them and bring them back, and they're like, "Oh, look who we found." So it's like, did Dominic not know that Apex let them go?
No, because Apex comes back into the living room and Dominic goes, "Where are they?" And then Apex is like, "I took care of the phone." He's like, "That's not what I fucking asked." And then something distracts him. Can't remember what it was that distracted him, but something distracts him. And then, yeah, it cuts to Kayla and Ty out in the woods. And then they run into these other two guys. And then, yeah, it's Dora, the dog, comes running down the pathway. And the one guy's terrified of dogs. And he's like, "Fuck this shit." And just like fucking pops four calves into this dog.
Oh, man.
And I like the other guy. It's like, "You think you got her, sharpshooter?" Like, even he was just like, "Jesus Christ, dude." But then they played it off that the dog's name was Becky.
Because this tie was like, "Oh, I think Becky's out here," or something like that.
Yeah.
And Cole, the guy at the camo, he is like, "Who's Becky?" And they're like, "Oh, the doggy is shot." And then yeah, they get it back inside. They bring Kayla and them, and one of them says, "Oh yeah, we caught Becky and we shot her." And immediately Jeff goes to stand up, but then Kayla is like, something about like, "Oh yeah, that old dog was, I don't know, something."
She was a good dog, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And like
And that
quick thinking, like,
was
good
like,
job.
I'm surprised Dominic didn't like catch on it, like, to Jeff getting up so quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, they killed Dora. There's four guys. So yeah, this is where Dominic kind of says that he came to this house for something. He ends up going to the basement to try and find this. He finds like this tin or whatever in the wall and opens it. There's no key in there. And then we see Becky. She comes up to the house and she reaches into her room and she gets well, she tries to get her cell phone in her backpack, I think, right? But she can't reach it, so then she ends up taking the walkie-talkie. And this is where Dominic sees that, brings it in, and starts asking him, like, oh, like, figured it out. Becky is a little girl. And Jeff won't tell him. He just keeps saying, oh, she's in Atlanta, stuff like this. And Dominic's like, why would a little girl leave her cell phone here when she's in Atlanta? So he's like, tell me where she is. And then ends up shooting Kayla in the leg. And then Becky starts using the walkie-talkie, talking to them, basically threatening them, saying, I'll call the cops. I went to the neighbors. And then Apex is like, well, the nearest neighbor is like 2 miles away. There's no way that she went there. And then Dominic realizes, like, well, these are kids' toys. She's like within a 50-yard radius or whatever it is, right? So we know she's on the property. So they take Jeff outside and they're basically going to torture him until Becky brings him the key. So they're sitting by the fire. He's roasting like a marshmallow stick and then ends up burning Jeff a few times. And then Becky comes up to the fire pit area. And oh no, sorry. How does Jeff get away? Does Dominic let him go?
He kicks him, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. Yeah, he
Yeah,
does.
this is whenever he like raises himself up and smashes Apex in the face, and then he boot fucks Dominic to the ground, and then he gets up and runs. Doesn't make it far.
Yeah, so he's running towards Becky. And then Dominic chases him after him and just fucking shoots him. And I honestly didn't remember. I thought Jeff survived in this one movie.
Me too. And I was kind of,
Honestly.
yeah, because I was like, whenever it happened, because this is only my second time watching it. So whenever it happened, I was like, no, he survives. Like, I feel like I remember him throughout the rest of the movie. And I was like, there's no way they just killed him. And I'm thinking, like, at some point, he's going to wake up and he's going to find Becky and he's going to be
That's
alive.
what I thought too.
Yeah, no, he's dead.
No, they kill him. So she's now an orphan, and Dominic is loves to rub that in her face.
Yes, he does.
And this is where the movie kind of takes it up a notch. Becky comes up to him and, you know, he's like, just give me the key. And then she's like, I'll give you the fucking key, and just shoves it in his eye.
Oh man,
And
it's so
he's
gross.
like, obviously fucked. So she runs away and he runs inside the house and his eye is literally hanging out. Like, it's fucking nasty. And he's like, to the other guy, I forget what his name is, but he's like, stop eating your taking a fucking lunch break and help me out. And his eyes, you know, the guy has a fucking pot of like mac and cheese or something.
Yeah.
He's like, oh shit.
I love Apex too, because Dominic comes up to me, he's like, is it okay? Like, I can't see out of it, like, is it okay? And Apex is like, nah, man, like, it's fucked up.
So the guy's like looking for something to cut it off, grabs like, I don't know, like children's scissors. He's there trying to cut the eye socket. And Dominic is like, grabs it. He's like, you fucking idiot. And then he grabs a knife, puts his head down, his eyeball out. It's so nasty.
It's gross. Did you read the trivia on this part?
No, I didn't know.
So the prosthetic eye that's hanging out of his face, it wasn't cutting.
Oh, really?
So like it was supposed to just be like a quick chop, but Kevin James was like screaming and yelling throughout this whole thing, and he's trying to saw through it, and then finally it breaks off, and they yelled cut, and like he couldn't stop the laughing that was coming out of him. Like they cut it
Really?
at the perfect time because he's like bursting out laughing. Because
That's hilarious.
it was supposed to just be like a quick chop.
So yeah, Becky's run away. She runs into her playhouse. Diego is still in there. And I love the camo guy comes up and just like opens the door and then Diego's there. He's like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? How many dogs do you get fucking got? And he's like, he doesn't have a gun at this point, and he's trying to like talk to her, like, okay, just give me the throw the key to me, and then I'll tell him I found the key in the ground, and you just run away, and they just want the key, like that's it. So she's still coming out, and he's like out there, he's like, are you there? Like, you hear me? And he's like, something about your mom is okay, you'll be able to spend time with your mom. And she yells at him, my mom's fucking dead. He's like, well, your stepmom, whatever the fuck it is. And then that pisses her off because she sees the picture of all of them, like the painting of them. And she just kind of, I don't know, it spurred this thing in her, like, my mom's fucking dead. Now my dad is fucking dead.
Just
And she,
snapped.
yeah, stopped. And she fucking gets the toque on her head, and she starts like gathering up different things. She's like, okay, I'm coming out. Leaves Diego in there. Goes up top the playhouse or whatever. And then she's like, here's the key. And she has a quarter. It's a Canadian quarter, if you didn't notice.
I mean, we should have clued in. This is a fuck Canadian movie.
I know. Yeah. So she has a quarter, and I don't know why, but I love that it's zoomed in on the quarter. Like, you know, it's like, oh, it's a Canadian quarter. And then she throws it, and he's just like, God, good fucking throw or something like that. So he's trying to find it, and she like hops on this like Home Alone type shit and is like gliding down to it, and then just has like this broken ruler, wooden ruler, stabs him, and he's like, ah, what the fuck? And then she just gets on top and starts like stabbing a bunch, and he's like freaking the fuck out, and then she just stabs in his neck and just fucking keeps like kicking down on it, and just, oh, it's brutal fucking
She
good.
went psychotic in this scene.
Yeah,
It was
yeah,
great. I love
yeah.
too, because like her other weapon was a bunch of pencil crayons that she had like grouped up together and just fucking duct taped.
Yeah,
So it's like
exactly.
just this big, thick, sharp knife kind of thing made of pencil
Yeah.
crayon.
Yeah. So then she ends up going back to the cabin, and this is where we see Apex basically telling Dominic that he doesn't want to kill any more children, that he's done. And Dominic, you know, doing his, you know, dominant thing, like, you know, oh, this will be the last one, I swear, you know. It's basically just using him, honestly. You know, keeps saying, oh, it's for the Brotherhood, and like, you know, does the shit. And yes, she left the walkie-talkie, and I love, like, I forget what she says, but basically, like, I'm gonna fucking kill you guys, basically. And he, Kevin Dominic's going on about how that you're a fucking orphan now, and whenever you'll get adopted, the parents are gonna see that you're a fucking murderer, and like, who's gonna want that? And it's just fueling her fire, really. So we send an Apex after her. Oh, Hammond is the other guy's name. So he's still out there, and he goes to the playhouse and sees Cole dead. And then Becky comes up, and she's like, oh, I got the key right here, just fucking come and get it from me. And before, she had set up a trap at the dock with like some fishing line and a 2x4 with like some nails in it. And so he's like running after her, like, oh, I'm not gonna hurt you, I'm gonna fucking kill you. And like, she's like running, and he ends up, she goes on the dock, and then he trips over the fishing line and smashes like his chest into the wooden board. And he stands up, has this fucking board nailed into his chest. He like pulls it out. She like smashes him in the head with the fucking two by
Another
four.
one.
Yeah. He ends up falling in the water, and then like you think, oh, okay, she's gonna like leave or whatever. But no, she gets in the fucking boat, starts the engine, and fucking rips the guy's fucking chest out with the rotors of the motor.
So good. The
Yeah.
great kill.
Oh yeah, it's good. And Apex is down there by the dock, is coming towards her, and then we see Diego got at the house, and I'm not gonna lie, the first time I watched this, I laughed my head off. I mean, it's brutal, but so hey, the dog's barking, and Apex's turns, and like he's not fucking worried, right?
Yeah, this guy's
And
like 6 foot
fucking
eight, 6'9".
yeah, he's huge. So the dog's running up, dog jumps, mid jump, Apex just fucking punches the dog in the face. The dog like yelps and goes down. Like he's not dead, but he's like fucking hurt.
Knocked him the fuck out.
Oh man. That's gonna give a fuck. And obviously Becky is like upset and
Because she thinks that they killed her other fucking dog.
yeah. And then Apex gets her on the ground and he's like choking her, and then he just like lets her go and he tells her like, "I'm done. I'm done with this." Like, you should have like escaped when he got the chance. Like, you like go now. Like, I'm done with all this.
He's like,
And
Dominic can go fuck himself.
yeah, so Diego's okay. He's fine. And then, but Diego doesn't go up for Apex again. He's like, oh, I'm not fucking with that guy. And Apex just walks away, never to be seen again. Wink, wink. Yeah, so now it's nighttime and Kayla won't talk to Becky because Dominic's trying to get her to get Becky to come, and she's like, "Oh yeah, you're a mother," and Kayla's like, even if it was her guardian or whatever, she still wouldn't come. And then she like spits in his face, and then he basically says, "I'm gonna fucking kill you in front of your son," and then this is when Becky starts luring him outside with the car alarm. And he's up at the van, and then he opens the door, and then fucking Diego's in there and just going at his arm, ripping him. And then he just fucking slams the door on the dog a couple times, but dog's okay. He's fine. And then Becky hits him with a car, but not like hard. Like, doesn't really do anything to him, honestly. She crashes the car, and then we. Yeah, like the car assist person. What was that? OnStar?
OnStar,
Yeah. Call and basically say, okay, we're sending police because there was a crash or whatever. So she escapes. She's in the shed. She finds some things. You don't really know what it is. And then you see Dominic basically saying like, where are you? Give me the key. And then you start hearing her singing the song that she's saying to her mom when she was in the hospital. And so he goes down to the fire pit, and there she is just singing the song. Basically, like, be beside me, some like when you're gone. And Dominic, like, makes a joke or something like that. And, like, they're standing across from each other in the fire pit. And then she just gets up and, like, grabs a water gun and sprays, and it's filled with gasoline. So it just fucking coats him in gas.
So
He's
sick.
on fire. But it didn't really do shit because
No.
he's fine.
Yeah, he just, well, he practices stop, drop, and roll
Yeah,
to put that
exactly.
fire out. But man, it's such a good idea.
Because
Like, that was genius.
he still has a gun at this point, right? Well, not
Yes.
after he's burned, but he had a
I think,
gun like at that standoff.
yeah, because I think he drops it whenever.
Yeah. But then he gets off fire and she's running away, but he ends up catching up to her and he's choking her. And then he ends up getting the key, but then you see just fucking Apex coming out of nowhere, which blew my mind. Tackles Dominic and is fighting with him, and gets him on the ground, is like fighting him, punching him, and then you see Becky drive out of the shed with the ATV and a lawnmower attachment on the back. And like, okay, this thing's slow as shit. Like, surely this isn't gonna work. No, sure enough, Apex moves out of the way and she runs over Dominic with a lawnmower and just kind of hovers over top of his face for
It's so
a
brutal.
few seconds and then drives off, and half his face is just like sandpapered off. It's brutal.
It's so sick though. I love this next part too.
Yeah, go ahead.
So after that happens, Dominic's like down on his knees because he was just finished like choking Dominic or Apex is down in the knee. And he's like, I want to be better. Like now that he's gone and I want to basically reform and like I want to do better. Like I never want to feel all these people and whatnot. And he's like, I hope you can forgive me and whatever. And she just fucking walks up to him with this handgun and just boom, boom, pops him right in the face. Like doesn't even let him finish what he's saying. I was just like, you are such a badass kid. I did kind of feel a little bit bad, but
I
like,
didn't, honestly.
not bad, but like, he just saved her life.
It was a quick, easy death,
That's
right?
true. She gave him that at least. She was brutal with everybody else. But
Mm
it was just like full blown Mexican
hmm.
cartel execution style, just down on his knee.
Yeah. But yeah, she steals the key, and then we see Kale and Ty come out, and we see like flashing lights, and they're just like standing there at the bottom or at the on the ground. And I think it cuts the end of the interview, and I forget exactly what really was said. It just shows that she has the key, I think, right? Like that was the main focus.
And she denies it to the cops that she.
I mean, it's self-defense, right? So, I mean,
Well,
what's.
I mean, yeah, but she doesn't let on that it was her.
Yeah.
Basically, just says she doesn't know what happened.
Yeah. That's the way the blood splatters.
Was going to say you could just use that one for
I
this.
know. Yeah.
Right. How did you rate this movie?
Let me double check. Of course, my score was. I take my score away. Oh, there is. I give it a 3 out of 5. I think it's a well-made movie. I think the 90 minutes is absolutely perfect. I think it just gets right into things right away, doesn't waste any time. You're still emotionally invested in the characters. I think the action scenes are filmed amazing. I think Lulu Wilson and Kevin James just absolutely crush this. Like she's like I don't know, 15 years old, 14 years old, whatever it is. And I think like the other actors did a good job too. Like I think Joel McHale as a dad is believable, and I think he played the dramatic part a bit good. Like a bit of comedic stuff in there, but not too much. I like the editing and the cinematography. I thought it looked great. Really my biggest gripe is like just the story kind of just makes no sense. Like you're just in it to watch the violence, and that's okay. But yeah, so 3 out of 5.
Nice.
What about you?
I gave it 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
And like I'm basically just paraphrasing what you said. I said like I really had a great time with this movie. Lulu Wilson is an absolute menace and a blast to watch on screen kicking ass. I love Kevin James in this role. I want to see him do this. And then with the story, I said there's some holes in the story, but this one really is one you care about with the story. Like you just came into it wanting to watch Kevin McAllister's long lost niece obliterate four grown ass men. And that's exactly what you get. I don't know. It just is what it is. I would have liked to have known what the hell that key was for. But I mean, yeah, it's just a really fun ass kicking movie. I wish there was more than four guys.
They have to make it believable, right? It's like a 13-year-old girl.
That's fair enough.
And there's a guy who's literally like 7 feet tall and
That's
can
true.
punch a cane Corso.
That's true. I don't know. I wanted to see more of what she could do. But I guess that's why we got a sequel, right?
Which is on Netflix, so I think I'm gonna watch it this week.
Do it. It's just as good as this movie.
Okay.
All right, you guys are in our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they. The critics' consensus. Becky isn't quite able to sustain enough intensity to fully take advantage of its premise, though it serves up entertainingly nasty thrills for genre fans. Based on that, what do you think the.
I'll say like a 73%.
Oh, you're so close. 72.
Damn.
That was on 120 ratings and an average score of 6 out of 10. The audience score really surprised me. Only got a 58%.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. Like I was thinking like a 65 to a 70.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was on 500 ratings and an average score of 3.4 to 5 or a 6.8 out of 10.
All right.
Letterboxd.
Letterboxd. I'm pretty sure has the 3.0. Yeah. Letterboxd has a 3.0 out of 5. We already said our scores, obviously. Anthony gave it a 3 out of 5. Jess gave it a 4 out of 5. Jensen gave it a 4 out of 5. Slash and Captain and 4 out of 5. Nathan gave it a 4 out of 5. A lot of 4 out of 5s. That's it.
All right, well, it's time for our
cunning stunts.
How did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I'll give it like a 3 out of 10. I don't know. This isn't really many stunts per se, but it is, you know, I mean, Lulu Wilson, I don't know how. No, she really did her own stunts. Really much to do, honestly. But I just think like the action scenes and the kills, I think, were filmed and done really well. To kind of make like a 13-year-old kill a fucking, I don't know, mid 30 to 40-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So go with that.
All right.
Favorite stunt? I'll go with fucking Kevin James's eyeball.
Okay.
That looked so realistic.
It did. Yeah, you're right.
Honestly. When he's throws in the sink, it's just like rolling around. Like,
Yeah.
plug it with that.
Okay.
Not really a stunt, but
Yeah.
yeah. And the stunt I would like to try, I'll just go with Becky swinging down on the rope.
It's really the only real stunt in this
It
movie.
is, yeah.
It's nothing.
I mean, that guy does trip over a fishing lure into
That's true.
a 2x4.
I don't want to try that though.
I mean, yeah, it wouldn't be fun.
No, it would hurt.
Yeah.
All right. For me, I also gave the stunts a 3 out of 10. And yeah, obviously same reasoning. Like it's not a really stunt-driven movie. It's just some like gory kills and I don't know, innovative kills, I guess. My favorite one, I'm gonna go with Kevin James, but I'm gonna go with the four-wheeler longboard
Okay.
death.
Yeah.
Again, not a stunt, but like probably my favorite kill in the movie. Just I don't know, it was just fucking crazy to me. And the first time I watched it, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a
Oh,
lawnmower attached to the back of it.
really?
Not at first,
Yeah.
until obviously she fucking ran over his face, but
Yeah.
And stunt I would want to try. Yeah, I said the same kind of ziplining down off the
Yeah.
roof of the.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a big stunt driven movie, but a
No.
fun one nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right, it's your turn to pick our next.
Already. So there's two movies I want to do, and action is not the first or second genre in these movies.
Okay.
So the one I'm gonna pick, so we are going to go be a couple New York police detectives, and we're gonna have a big old orgy with Dirty Mike and the boys. So we'll be talking about the other guys.
I love it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, I'm all for that. That's great.
All right.
Action's not like the second.
No,
Really?
I don't think so, from what I saw.
Anyways, regardless,
Yeah.
I'm excited. I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Good pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. In the meantime, you guys can catch us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Check out our backlog of episodes. We have some fun ones. You want to shoot us a message? Our DMs are always open. Just a movie, that would be cool too. We're always open.
Yeah.
But yeah, come back in a couple weeks. We'll be talking about the other guy.
Yes. See you later.
Bye.